It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll take a look at national politics with Harry Enten from 538.com.
First, the environmental group Friends of the Central Sands is calling on the state DNR to continue enforcing regulations on high-capacity water wells in spite of a recent opinion written by the state attorney general, Brad Schimmel.
Schimmel said in an official opinion that a 2011 law limits the authority of state agencies to what is explicitly stated in the law. Based on the attorney general's opinion, that would mean the DNR would not be allowed to consider things like overall environmental impact on a region when granting or rejecting permits to build high-capacity wells.
Bob Clark joins us now. He's the board president of the Wisconsin nonprofit Friends of the Central Sands, which focuses on education and outreach about environmental resources in Wisconsin's Central Sands area. Bob, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bob, why are you disappointed in the Attorney General's opinion on the DNR's authority over high-capacity wells?
Well, it's a long story, interesting story, that actually spans more than the Central Sands, Veronica. This goes back several years. Lake Beulah Water District in East Troy, actually a landmark case where the DNR did not look at cumulative effects, and the Supreme Court ruled that the DNR really must look at cumulative effects when permitting high-capacity wells. And the key here is an old analogy, if you take one straw and put it in a milkshake, it doesn't have much of an effect. But you add 2, 3, 10, 20 straws, pretty soon that milkshake's going to be gone. And that's really the crux of this issue. The concern that we have is the water levels in the greater Central Sands area, again, not just limited to that, but the DNR's authority to look at and responsibility to look at all of the wells in a given area, not just the impact of one particular well at a time.
So tell us exactly what would change should the DNR decide to follow the Attorney General's opinion.
Well, this has been about a year and a half of sea change, quite frankly. Following the Lake Beulah decision, we actually went to court and prevailed in 2014 with Judge Bolt in looking at a Richfield Dairy case. And it was, again, determined that the DNR does not only have the responsibility, but it also has the authority under the public trust doctrine to look at the wells in this manner. The DNR has pretty much, in a good faith effort, the last several months been beginning to look at that. But the Attorney General's opinion, which is just that, it is an opinion, strips the DNR of anything that's not explicitly written in statute. But frankly, the courts already addressed that particular argument in both cases.
So how much weight does the opinion have, then, if you're saying that you have this legal precedent here of these two previous cases, which say, yes, the DNR should look at that? So which trumps the other?
Well, and that is a very good question. We were astounded, frankly, that the Attorney General would come out with that statement, and thus our letter to the DNR Secretary Stepp. And Clean Wisconsin and other organizations have also prevailed on her to look at case law, look at the history and the impacts, and ignore his opinion, frankly, in this matter.
So if you're looking at how things would be regulated by the books in terms of what the Attorney General is looking for in that opinion, I mean, could you see this as something that is more democratizing, that it might curb the power of bureaucrats, keep it in the hands of the legislature, which is elected by citizens?
Certainly. Let me just make a point. This is not about environmental groups versus agriculture. This really is about protecting the waters of Wisconsin, which are protected under the public trust doctrine of the Constitution. There is no question that I'm a fan of democracy. We have certainly there are bills that are passed that we support and bills that are passed that we do not support. But the reality is, in this case, the courts have prevailed because there is no possible way for a legislative body to anticipate every possible action and reaction in a case such as this. So there has to be some broad implied powers. And if the DNR is not empowered to protect our water, then frankly, who is?
Well, I guess that's a good question. If the DNR is not the one looking at these cumulative effects of the high-capacity wells and how many there might be in an area, who does it fall to look at that sort of science?
Well, there actually isn't anybody else. Therein lies the problem. so the DNR is struggling with what rules should it follow. And the rank and file in DNR are very great people, and they all have the same, you know, general concerns. You know, this is not about, and welcome to Dairy Month, by the way. So it's kind of ironic that we're speaking today, because agriculture and dairy are huge industries in Wisconsin. But so is tourism. Tourism was $19.3 billion in 2015, up a billion from 2014. What happens when the waters begin to erode and lakes begin to dewater? The Little Plover River, south of Stevens Point, has been dewatering virtually every summer for the last dozen years. Other lakes and streams in the area, Fish Lake, Huron Lake, Long Lake, are very much imperiled. When you change the flow of trout streams, you change the temperature, you change the chemical composition, and trout doesn't spawn. What does that all do to the tourism industry of Wisconsin? So it is a big issue. It's not just about one well taking water out of one lake. It affects all of us in Wisconsin.
We're talking with Bob Clark right now, board president of the Wisconsin nonprofit Friends of the Central Sands, talking about regulation of high-capacity water wells. The attorney general has issued an opinion that our guest group is urging the DNR to ignore when it comes to the regulation of high-capacity wells. And you mentioned dairy and agriculture, those industries. As we know, this is a bedrock, Wisconsin is, for agriculture, for the dairy industry. And these high-capacity water wells are sometimes put into place in service of that industry.
Absolutely.
And here we are in a state that has a slow economic comeback, slower than the rest of the country. Is this regulation something that would help Wisconsin spring back more quickly and help those industries in particular?
Well, as a businessman and as a farmers that we've met and spoke to, you know, their concern is certainty, and I agree with that. Businesses need some degree of certainty. At the same time, we're drawing from a resource that literally belongs to everyone of the state. And so it is a balance. It is a balance of certainty for a business model. It is a balance of property rights for individuals that own farmland. But it's also an issue of property rights for those that live around water bodies. So somewhere there has to be this balance. And unfortunately, there's been a proliferation of these new wells over the last many years, and that's what's causing the problem. This wasn't a problem before, but as agricultural land increases, as our production increases, which on the balance sheet may look good, there is a cost to that. There's what's called an externality to those benefits. And that externality, in this case, is dewatered lakes in streams and wetlands that are going dry.
What is your sense of how the state has done at regulating and permitting these high-capacity water wells in the last couple of years?
Well, the last few years have been the real challenge for us, as we see wells being approved without with a stated restriction that they cannot look at more than one well at a time, but an acknowledgement in court, actually, that that's just not good science. It's not backed by science, that we need to look at these cumulative effects. So we're trying to turn back the hand a little bit and provide, again, some balance in doing the math, again, as our good friend George Kraft, professor at UW Stevens Point, says, of what goes in versus what comes out. And right now we have a deficit on what's coming out.
Now, so far, have you heard any response from the DNR?
As of yet, no, we have not.
The head of the DNR is Kathy Steff. She was appointed by Governor Walker, who worked closely with the state's Republican Attorney General, Brad Schimmel. He issued the opinion that we've been talking about. And given that, are you hopeful that your letter will have an impact?
Well, you know, when we started this journey on the well resources 5 years ago, we weren't sure of the impact that we would have. And we have a group of citizens that normally, you know, enjoy their weekends on the dock, normally enjoy their weekends hiking and fishing, who came together and actually prevailed in court. That alone is a story worth retelling. So I think the impact has already been made. It has already been felt. The fact that we're on the show talking about it was something that probably wouldn't have happened 5 years ago if it were not for individuals across the state who are expressing their opinions and expressing their concerns in this matter. So do I expect a decision tomorrow that we reverse everything? Probably not. But I think piece by piece, little by little, differences are being made.
Bob, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That was Bob Clark, board president of the Wisconsin nonprofit Friends of the Central Sands. His organization urged the DNR to ignore Attorney General Brad Schimmel's official opinion to scale back regulation of high-capacity wells.